just get to what I need to get to here. Nie genade, wat gaat nou hier? So Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you. Even as what I'm going to speak about, Father, we we have been on this journey, that we have your promises, and then we want to take the promises, Father. We face the giants in the land, and they can sometimes be intimidating. But I thank you, Lord, as we consider your word this morning, that we can just draw closer to you, that we will see your kingdom come in our day and age, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, just quickly want to chat to you about promises and giants. If you've got promises of the Lord that he's given you, only a few. Okay. So we've just finished the Overcomer series in our small groups, looking at Revelation. And I think, again, just for me, the one thing that was continually that Matt does well for me in that series is just how he helps us understand that it doesn't matter what the devil does, what the dragon and the beast does in Revelation, what happens in that the church always conquers, that Jesus Christ is the conquering king. He's the one on the white horse. He's the triumphant king. And we are on that side. And I love that about that series, and you know, I pray even as we continue from here as a church, that we will step into that that arena where we know who we are in Christ, that we can walk in that authority, even that overcoming authority. You know, we're going to face many things in this world, right? And we don't know what's coming. This world can go very funky, but the truth is, we are the overcoming church. Amen? Do you like my picture? Yeah. Huh? I'm just not sure why his toe has got a blinking on. I mean, it's the only thing that I thought. He's got some clean feet, man. Now, if you read your Bibles, you know there's a story where Moses and the Israelites come to where Jericho is, and Moses sends out the 12 spies. You remember that, right? So the 12 spies goes into the country. They spy out a few things, and then they come back. And they give this report, right? And 10 of the 12 going, heck no. We are not doing this. What was the Lord thinking? Did he not know who's dwelling in this land? You know, we are like grasshoppers in our eyes, actually, they said. You know, we see these people, and we actually don't want to go there. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, sharpen your axes, boys, and your swords and stuff. We can do this because God is going to give us this land. We're going to take it. It's no problem. I guess the question is, who are we in that scenario? All right, so in that land, you know, why did I feel like grasshoppers? Because the people that dwell in that land were the Anakims. They were descendants, possibly, they believed they were descendants from the Nephilim, which was before the flood, which means they were really some big people. Now, I know Caleb's big. And there's some of us sitting here that are big in stature. But once you consider when you get into a presence of someone and they're so massive that you think that you're a grasshopper, they must have been massive people, huge people. Now, for our context, in our day and age, we don't understand that. We don't even see that because, you know, for us, a big man is you know, Bakkies Botha. But okay, I don't know who's the new players. I don't watch rugby these days. Beast was one. But But in their context, I can but imagine when they walked into this land and they saw these people, I would imagine they would have thought, what does our weapons have to do? I mean, this guy is so massive. What are we going to do about it? Now, when it comes to the promises of God, when we consider from our perspective that which God is promising, there's mainly two people, or two ways people respond, actually. The one set of people are very keen to inherit the promises of God, but the reality causes them to shrink back then. So they see, they know that the things that God has called them to, the promises that God has given them, and then they get into the land and they see the giants and the circumstances and everything that's going around them, and that causes them to back off. They know God is good, they know God is for them, but reality then says to them, you will not inherit this promise. You will not see this happen. And secondly, the second group of people are those that know the promises of God and actually just go like, you know, they're just going to take the land. They simply take God by his word and they go for it. Sadly, the second response, or that amount of people, or that people are not always in the meerderheid. They are few in number. And I don't know where you are this morning, but there's normally one of those two responses. You love Jesus, you know he has good things in store for you, but your reality makes that you shrink back. I pray this morning that there will be a shift in your heart, that you will become the man and the woman that simply takes God by his word. Now, I'm going to read to us a small portion. And in this portion, this is now where they've conquered the promised land. And Joshua is about, and Joshua is featured here this morning quite a bit. He's about to divide the land. But before he does this, Caleb actually comes to him. And Caleb says the following thing. Then the people on Judah actually joins him on this quest to validate his claim. All right, so then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Buddy, I'm so glad for some nice surnames and names and so on. Okay? The Kenizzite said to him, you know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, concerning me, you and me, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. I want you to hear that. That is a very bold statement. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since that time that the Lord has spoken these words to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. How many people are 85 years old here this morning? Nobody? Okay. All right. So, and I'm still strong today as it was the day that Moses sent me. My strength is now as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming in. So, now give me this hill country. So, there's a good clue of what he's looking at. It's not a flat country. 85 years old, he says, give me the hills. Come on, I want to grow old like that. Okay, so give me the hill country which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard that day how the Anakims were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb and the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to that day, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, I don't know if this inspires you, but here we see an 85-year-old man who received a promise 45 years before that. And he held on to it. During that time, a lot happened. Lots of things happened in his life. But he never shrunk back from the promise of God for his life. And even on 85, he says, man, give me the hills. Give me the difficult place. Don't give me the flat plains. Give me the hills and give me the giants. Because I still believe that God is with me. And I'm still following God wholeheartedly. And therefore, I know I will prosper. I will be blessed. And he was just like you and me. An ordinary man serving an extraordinary God. He was just willing to believe him at his word. Unlike his brothers that went with him, when they spied out the land, who saw the circumstances, who saw the hills, who saw the fortified cities, and said, we cannot do this. May we be a people who look at the hills and the fortified cities and the giants and go, give us that land. You know, and I believe as we have even appointed the elders this morning, we are taking that land. We are taking the difficult places. We're going to take back the places that the devil said, you shouldn't be here, shoes, go away. Amen? Amen? At least my wife is here. In Numbers 14:24, God actually says this about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land, him into the land which he went. Him and his descendants shall possess it. Now, I want to just tell you this morning that if I look at this, it is awesome that God testifies this about Caleb. But look at that last part. His descendants were changed. The future was changed because he was willing to take the high ground. He was willing to follow God fully. You know, it's interesting when you talk around with people, and especially this time of year, you know, a lot of people say that I'm tired. But I pray that you will not become tired in faith. I pray that you will not become weary because life is tough. But that you will stand up and you will, as a Caleb, say, give me the hill country. My God's got this. I'm going to take that place. I'm not going to shrink back because, it looks a bit tough. I'm going to do this. And it's rooted in a place where we read that he was following God wholeheartedly with all his heart, mind, and strength. Is that not what the scripture says? That's how we should love our God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength. And I challenge you, go sit down just with that scripture. What does it mean to follow God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength? When you channel everything that you are to follow him. Doesn't matter the hill country, the flat plains. Doesn't matter what lies before you. You are a man and a woman of faith because you have got your heart fully trusted in God. You are not looking to serve other gods. You are fully trusted in him. Now, Hebron, or Kiriath Arba, as it was known at the time, was quite significant, or because Caleb obeyed, became quite significant for the generations. Now, I just want to look at a few things. This is a few things, and it's interesting to see that Abraham made a turn here as well. This is when God actually said to him, this will be yours, okay? It is first mentioned in Genesis 13, verse 18, where God, after Abraham parted from Lot, he went there and God said there for him, listen, this land will belong to you and your offspring. And What I just want us to see as well is that when Caleb had this in his heart, he was actually stepping to a promise that was way older than what he was. He inherited the very place that God has spoken to the generations before them. And I want to say to you, your children's children might step into promises that God has given you. But because you have been faithful, because you have been pursuing God, because you are serving the Lord wholeheartedly, they will be able to take that land. Because you were willing just to follow God. You know, and when Abraham got to that piece of land, there was nothing. He had to dig wells and everything, if I remember correctly. Maybe sometimes God leads us into nothing so that the generations can prosper after. And Sarah and Abram were both buried there. He bought a piece of land. He had favor, man, with the Hittites. He was not of that land, but they respected him so much, and you can go and read the story, that they allowed him to buy a portion of land. They actually wanted to give it to him, and he said, no, I want to buy it from you. And he bought that piece of land. And they were, and Israel to this day considers that one of the most holy places in Israel. They are there. Buried. Okay? Hebron became a city of refuge. Priests who didn't have a portion of land could go and stay there. People who actually accidentally killed another could live there in safety from the people that, from the family and the vengeful family. They could just stay there. David later, this is the place where he started ruling from for 7.5 years. His son also tried to do the same, to start his kingdom from there. But the one thing he didn't keep in mind was that unless God sets you apart, you will not prosper. And there's more that I can say about this, but it's interesting to see one man obey and it becomes a blessing to the generations. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you are tired. Maybe your faith is taking a bit of strain. You know, maybe, you know, it's, we kind of, I had a moment, okay? I had a moment with the Kalen 2 weeks ago where I'm thinking, yes, Lord. So for our visitors, we are reaching out to Dekalen High School in Kells River. And we've been doing, like Laurette said, a year and a half now. But we have very limited time with the leaders on a Tuesday, probably 20, 25 minutes. And then on a Thursday with everybody, we have about the same time. And we go there every week and we minister, we prepare stuff. And we go, and 2 weeks ago I was going, why are we doing this? This is just, it feels so pointless. It's so tough. The hills are tough. And Isaac asked a question in one of the groups on Thursday, just saying, hey, listen, what has CSV meant to you over the last while? And this two or three of the kids just said, you know, just testified, simple stuff. How what we're doing shifted and change their lives. And I had to go, sorry, Lord, for being so of little faith. In that, even though the little that I offer, you actually do something. And maybe you are sitting here this morning and you feel like, what's my faith about? Where is this going? It's been years. I've been trusting and I've been praying or whatever for years. I want to say to you, keep on. Pressing on, following God with all your heart. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says this, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. Come on, saints. We simply follow God wholeheartedly. Even if you've been serving God for many years, I want to encourage you that you will grow in your faith to where you take the high country. That you will not shrink back from the giants or the people who are there. You see, it's not your charisma. It's not your personality. It's not the cards that dealt that you were dealt at the moment, as people would say. You know, it's not your family inheritance or the lack thereof that determines your future. It's the promises of God that actually does. And when I pursue it, when I step in it, it changes not only my life and not just me receiving that blessing, but it goes down the generations. See, we inherit the promises of God when we obey Him and we follow Him wholeheartedly. And when I spoke about the Holy Spirit last week, I said, He's not here to fulfill my purposes. He's not here to serve me. And as I serve God, He simply propels me into that which He has in store for me when I obey Him and follow Him fully. And this is why we've received the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth, and He comes and He teaches us these things. He shows us the way. And we can walk in communion with Him, in relationship with Him, and He reveals these things to us. So do you have promises of God? Do you know the promises of God? Some of you here might this morning say, no, I don't. I haven't received any. Well, I guess maybe we should pray for you so that you can hear. But I wanted to encourage you, though, that Scripture is full of the promises of God for every believer. And even if you just start there, if you start trusting God for that which He reveals in His Word, and you step into that, you will prosper. And then I want to encourage you when you do that, to see God's face, to understand His will and His purpose for your life, so that you can inherit the promises. I think the question that I sometimes ask people that throws them quite a lot is why did God take the time to create you? What does He want to do with you? Because if you read the Word, He took time to form you in your mother's womb, and He's got a plan and a purpose for you. So He's not a God who is random. He's got a specific plan and purpose for you. Do you know what that is? Because I'm going to tell you, when you understand it, when you get a glimpse of that, when you know what that is, when you wrestle with God to understand what He wants to do with your life, and you step into it, lots of things happen. So which of the two people are you this morning? Are you the one who wants to inherit the promises of God, but reality keeps you from doing so? Or are you the one that simply, that looks through reality at what God says, and then simply takes Him by the word, by His word? You see, when God says that you are more than a conqueror, what does that mean to you? When He says you are able to do all things, when He says that you are set apart, when He says that you are a holy nation and a priesthood before you, before Him, what does that mean to you? When He says that you are His son or His daughter, will you simply take Him by His word and dwell in that? Live it out. Start walking in the promises of God. So many in Scripture we see have simply placed their trust in God, simply just followed Him. We have heroes in the Bible, and I think if you go read their stories, you'll see that they simply heard God and they went for it. And this morning, having ordained new elders, I want to ask us, church, who are we of those two people? What kind of church will we be? Will we be a church that want to inherit the promises of God, but when things get tough, we shrink back? Or are we going to be a church who says, let's do this. Let's take the hill country. Let's take that which God has promised us. We will be those that we will reconcile people to God. We will be those who are praying continually, laying on hands on the sick, driving out demons. We will be those who care for the widows and the orphans, for loving those that are unloved, for having compassion like Jesus did. We will be those that will lay our lives down for our friends, loving one another in such a way that the world may know that we are His disciples. what kind of church will we be? You know, Johannes prayed this morning as well. You know, we celebrate and we honor for God for what He's done to this point. He's brought us so far. We are prospering because of His blessing upon our lives. But I guess this morning we have a choice with the promises that God has given us for the future. Are we going to allow the giants to intimidate us? Are we going to allow life and circumstances and finances or whatever it is to intimidate us? Or are we going to rise up and say we're going to take the Gil country?